Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, Episode 32, Mindset for Racing. Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, practical triathlon advice for everyday athletes, when the brain is just as important as the brawn.
And at this time of recording of the day, how's the brain going, Doug?
The brain is excellent.
Oh, that
brain
is good, because you are here for the brains. I'll be the brawn today. Deal?
I'll take that today.
You're the one with the brains to ask the right questions. I'm the brawn for just doing the work.
The brain is a large muscle that we need to use, and today it's about how we use that for racing. But
yeah,
before we jump into it, for those who haven't listened to us before, why haven't you listened to us before? I'm Doug. I'm kind of the oil in the machine that that fills the uncomfortable silences, tries to be funny, and keeps things moving along. And Gerard, you are who?
I am Coach. I'm Gerard. And I'm the one who is trawling my brains for these wisdoms and trying to use Doug to help interpret them.
Yeah,
because what goes on in my brain, yeah, well, scary sometimes.
We can't quite do subtitles, but yeah, if he gets a bit confusing, I'll try and put it into layman's terms.
Excellent.
So we've got a bit of a chat today about the mind and that mindset for racing. But before we, again, we've introduced ourselves, the team at the moment. I think yesterday a big run was had.
So at the time of recording, it was the day before. Yep, our team here in Wellington training for a marathon in the hills. It's not quite ultra, it is marathon distance most people are doing. There are three crazies who are doing the ultra marathon distance.
How far is the ultra this time?
The ultra at 62K with 3,000 metres of climbing.
Yeah.
Which, Mount Cook. There you go. Climb Mount Cook while you run more than a marathon. How does that sound? Madness.
Yeah, fantastic.
But fun.
And as you say, at the time of recording, the guys and girls have recently done, was it 4 hours?
Yeah, so we did 4 hours a few weeks back, and this was another go at it. And we actually had a perfect day for doing a point-to-point run. It was a bit of fun. Rather than just going around in a big loop or out and back, we went from one end of Wellington to the other, perhaps. Not quite end-to-end. But yeah, it was a great fun way to do it. And yeah, just being 4 hours is that it's never going to be fast. It's never going to be a race. It is training, and everyone was run walking to some degree.
Yeah,
because that's the safe way to do it.
And again, we will allude to it a little bit when we talk about the mindset for racing. But that point to point is sometimes a bit easier to deal with in the head than when you're going out and turning around, because you know when you're halfway.
Yep, absolutely. It's that idea of, woohoo, halfway, oh, I've got to go all the way there back again.
So
doing something different's great.
Superb. And that's a couple of weeks away, a couple of 3 weeks away, but what's the chat in the team around, well, today is the shortest day, or yesterday was, so summer's on the way.
It all gets better from here, right?
Yeah. There must be some talk of I don't know, half Ironman events, people talking about Ironman next year. What's the chat?
Yeah, so look, it's exactly that we've got obviously this focus on the running at the moment, but that the end is in sight for that, so we'll be changing gears afterwards. So there's a lot of chat about maybe which event to do, who's going to do what. So what we'll do as a podcast in another week or so is about the different events around New Zealand and what each one is, for those who don't know them, why you might want to go to one or another.
Yeah, fantastic. And as summer is on its way, that's another fantastic thing, because there's certainly been a bit of illness and illness and darkness. They really don't get you too motivated.
It's midwinter doom and gloom. But yeah, there's some good strong flu and cold bugs going around at the moment. So a lot of people are catching, getting wiped out, or just having to deal with that. That's just a reality of being in winter, and it's bloody annoying because no one wants to get sick and miss training. But it's a reality. It does happen. Yeah, you take a bit of downtime, and in the scheme of it, like we've talked about before, one or two missed workouts, even a week in the scheme of it, is not going to be make or break unless your name is Jan Frodeno and you're trying to win Kona this year.
Yeah, a bit of enforced, time off. Yes, you may be feeling a little bit rubbish, but make the most of it.
Yeah.
Last episode, just very quickly, we talked about power meters for cycling.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of chat in the squad since then, and there's all sorts of so many options. But you know, quick summary of that.
Yeah. So cycling power meter is a device that attaches to your bike, and it gives you precise and immediate data about how hard you're going. And yes, it's techie. It's another device, but the benefits, even for those who aren't particularly techie minded, are just absolutely huge, because it makes your training and racing so, I say precise, and that's not to take the fun out of it at all, but it's that you know you're doing the right things at the right time.
Yeah, I'd almost go with the word specific.
That's it. Fantastic.
You know, because I have found that the trainer training, you just know you're right on the number that's appropriate for that, for what that workout's trying to achieve.
Yeah. Rather than just guessing or not sure by feel or anything else.
Yeah, and I'm maybe a guinea pig. I'm one of those people who's going to invest in a power meter for my bike, so that when I'm out on the road, I've got those same sorts of numbers, that same sort of data looking at me. And it will be interesting to see how that affects me physically, both, well, physically and psychologically.
Yeah,
whereas
yeah,
before
definitely.
It was kind of a little bit heart rate, a little bit how I felt, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
All right, we should do bit of a test scenario on you and just get you to report back.
Happy to do that.
Excellent.
This week. The part of the body that everybody can exercise equally well, mind. So we talked about the mindset for racing.
Yeah, so the idea with this was that obviously the team here, we've got our big run event coming up, the Wu 2K Marathon and Ultra Marathon. And that's a long event that most people are going to be out there for somewhere in the range of 5 to 7 hours. And to a lot of people, in their mind, well, that's not a race. I'm not racing. No, well, perhaps not, whereas you might consider a 5K, you're racing because you're going really hard out. Mm-hmm. But your goal is probably still to get to the end as quickly as you can. Why be out there for 8 hours when you could be out there for 7?
Yep.
So I think this idea of a mindset for racing, it applies to all situations, whether you are going long, going short, hard, easy, even test situations, tests that we do in training.
Yeah, so maybe, again, mindset for racing. Let's call it the mindset for racing, competing, participating.
Yeah.
Everything out there, if you can get your head in the right space, that's, I won't say half the battle, that's part of the battle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's applicable no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you're the pointy end, or whether you're the middle of the distribution curve, or you're a tail end Charlie.
Yeah, if you're just completing, you still got to have that mindset right about what you're doing and how you're going to do it.
And that clearly starts before an event, days before an event.
Probably the first thing is knowing or being clear where your fitness is at. And because it's very easy to have some dream goals, some things that you wanted to do perhaps when you started training for this. But as you go through, you start to learn a bit more about, well, maybe I missed training because I got sick a few times, work got on top of me. Maybe it went particularly well. And so really understanding where your fitness is at and being able to put aside the goals that you started with and to really reevaluate those and go, okay, now, knowing where my fitness is at, how everything's gone, what's my goal now? Let's get it clear for now, not just a dream that I had once upon a time.
Yeah, and a conversation with you, conversation with a coach, always handy when if you're not sure. Obviously, you've got lots of data and detail on people. You're probably a independent party who could sort of say, this is realistic. This is a push goal.
Yeah.
Just so that, because sometimes rather than you trying to figure it out yourself, having someone who has the skills to say, well, this would be an ideal target, helps with that mindset as well.
Definitely. Doug, you probably know that I'm quite big on not actually having time-based goals. And the reason being that I see or have seen in the past so many people being disappointed because the time didn't say what they were aiming for. And often that time was the dream that they had right at the start, and for whatever reason it didn't pan out. It might have been the conditions on the day.
Yep.
It might have been windy, so things were slow that day, or boggy underfoot. So, the goal doesn't have to be just about time. It's more about what you're capable of, and there's a lot of different ways that can be expressed. It could be a time. It could be a a level of feeling. Did I leave it all out there? Did I put it all out there? There's so many ways that you can set those goals.
Yeah, and we talked about that a while back. Yeah, time goals can be really damaging if you don't achieve some of the time after the swim or the time after the first 10K of Wu 2K or whatever the case may be. If you're not there, you get disappointed. Maybe you try to push yourself too hard to try and catch up, and then it all goes pear-shaped and the whole experience is a bad one. So it's hard because all these events are timed.
That's right. And look, there are some people, we do set time goals because they are beneficial to some people in some circumstances. But actually, there's a lot of people who don't have precise measurements to know where their fitness is at. They've just got a feeling or an idea.
Okay. And then, the brain, you're thinking about the race day, about visualization. It's I know it sounds very, a little bit fluffy, but don't tell me anyone who doesn't think for days about the day. Particularly when it's a biggie, when it's a sort of an A event.
Yeah, so that person. Often that thinking about the day it's a bit of anxiety and it's a bit of a muddle about what's in the brain, and it's not a very clear picture. There's just this kind of general feeling. Whereas I think it's fantastic if you can actually turn that into something more specific and visualize the experience that you want to have on the day. And so that really, that can be actually your goal, is to find a way to describe or illustrate that experience you want. And then that is what the picture that you plant in your mind. And research has shown so many times that how powerful the mind is, and that if you program the mind with the experience and the outcome that you're looking for, is that is a huge step towards actually achieving it.
Yeah, and you talked about not having time goals, and some people, the way they visualize and the experience they want to have is just to have a great time.
Yeah.
I'm going to high-five 50 people on the run.
Absolutely.
I'm going to acknowledge anyone I know who's coming in the other direction.
Yeah.
Just to, it's an experience as opposed to trying to say, right, I'm going to do this in 35 minutes and this in 2 hours.
And often it's the people who are focused on that experience who have the better days, both time results, because there's no pressure on them about time, but also the elation when you cross the finish line. It's a real buzz because it's been such a good day out there.
And visualizing, it's probably an obvious question, but visualize the positive things.
Yeah.
Do you need to acknowledge the thought of a puncture or the thought of a bad nutritional experience?
There's, I guess, you can't predict what's going to happen on the downside of it. But what you can probably be aware of is that you're going to know there's going to be some tough moments at some stage. And so really often in the likes of a half or Ironman, it's somewhere around that last quarter of the run. You get kind of between halfway and three quarters through the run. That's a common place where a lot of people may hit the wall or have a real down patch. And so if you know that is coming, that's actually something you can brace yourself for, and you can have in your mind, okay, it's going to suck. It's going to get tough. I know that is. So when you get there, you can almost go, hey, I knew this was going to happen. It's not unexpected. I'm prepared to deal with it, rather than just being blindsided by it and going into a tailspin because you don't know what to do.
Yeah, and if you're ready for something to become a little bit tough, you know you can get through it with a bit of extra nutrition or whatever the case may be. It's as you say, for the mere amateurs who are out there, from 4.5 to 7.5 hours for a half Ironman, there's going to be some moments where you doubt yourself.
Yeah.
And as you say, if you've visualized and prepared, you're just going to be that little bit better positioned to push on.
Definitely. And even another example is myself personally in a 5K, because a 5K running race is bloody hard work. It's relatively short, but man, you're just going for it the whole time. And the two key points for me, I know, often are the very start, because it just feels difficult to get the legs going, the heart rate up, the breathing going, just feel like absolute rubbish at the start. And so early on, I used to almost pack it in at that stage because it would be, oh, this is terrible. It's it's yeah, this is just how it's going. But now I know, well, actually, that's probably how it is going to be at the start. I can be ready for that.
Mm.
And then same later on, that I'm going to be breathing through a straw out of some body part and wanting to lose my breakfast and wanting to quit at that stage. But again, you know, if you know it's, or it's likely to be happening, you're ready for it and you can just deal with it.
Yeah. And failure is a part of this sport.
Yeah.
Again, it's hard. It's not. This is not an easy, you know, an easy hobby.
Mm.
And there, with all the bits that go on, there are going to be days where it just, you know, you go into that dark place and you actually just don't get out of it.
Yeah.
And you do. You may need to pull out, or you may need to walk the whole of the half marathon or whatever. Failure is obviously measured by people in different ways. But,
yeah.
I think you need to be in a position to say, do you know what?
Not every day can be the perfect day.
Correct.
That's for sure. And there's some people who are being are prepared to risk failure from the start. There are some people racing for perhaps Kona qualification, and they are so right on the edge of either getting it or not that they just have to take a roll of the dice and say, okay, I'm going to go with it. I want this bad enough that I'm prepared to fail at it as well. There's no sure way.
If it comes off, it comes off. If not, I'd rather fail trying for that you know, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, than do okay.
Yeah. Right.
So the brain is a funny old thing, and other things to consider, because I certainly know it can start telling you some very strange things when you're out there.
Yeah, too right. Probably some obvious ones, things to consider, are pacing and nutrition, because being clear, having a plan for those helps everything else go right.
Yeah, and it does seems a bit odd that why is that in a podcast we're talking about mindset,
yeah,
but you need to still be clear of thought while you're out there, because if you get down and dirty and you're thinking, whoa, I'm averaging 38 kilometres an hour on the bike, I'm just going to go,
yeah,
and you forget that you're supposed to be taking in some fluids every 15 minutes.
Yep.
And you're only supposed to be going 34 kilometres an hour. you find yourself in a pretty nasty
double
place.
Double whammy.
Yeah.
And if those blood sugar levels get low, if you hit the wall, then it doesn't matter how good your mindset is, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
So actually those are contributor as well.
Yeah, and I think when you get into that fatigued state, you start making even worse decisions. Or you don't make any decisions.
Yeah.
You forget.
Yeah.
You forget about what the plan was that was going to get you. So, yeah, I don't know if that's something you can practice, but certainly being as aware as possible of what you might start thinking when it goes a little bit wrong.
Well, that's a good point, because even in training, is that we do tough training sessions. If you're on the indoor trainer grinding out four 10-minute intervals like you were the other day, if you're having a bit of an off day, it can feel pretty bloody miserable and you can want to throw in the towel.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of opportunities to practice in training.
True. Yeah. Actually, that's a very valid point. You know, some of those sessions are set up almost to do that.
Yeah.
To take you to your limit. Well, not your limit, but
to
give you the chance to quit.
Yes. Yeah.
And not taking that option and pushing through is good race preparation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Probably the other one is having reset strategies, so that when you're out there at the times when things get tough and it feels like there's a bit of doom and gloom coming down on you, to be able to recognize that and go, okay, well, that's in my head. I can reset. I can change what's going on in my head. And so there's a lot of ways to do that, be it a physical action. It might be, okay, I'll go and high-five someone and I'll just transfer all that negative energy over to them.
Yeah.
It might be, okay, I'm going to eat this gel and that's going to supercharge me. It could be a change of clothes. There's so many. It could be a song. But those things that just help you change the mindset, went from doom and gloom and dark place to, okay, get things back into balance.
Yeah, and it's a hard one when you've set yourself a specific target or experience or what you're looking to achieve on the day.
Mm.
When it doesn't quite work out, to reset is quite challenging, and it's a little bit fluffy, but you know, you're one of the few that's out there doing it. There's a lot of people
sat
on the sofa not doing it, and just put it down to experience. It's just one of those days that's not quite going to work, and hey, if it means you, you know, you walk 1K, run 1K to get over the line, fantastic. Wasn't what you wanted,
yep.
But it's another medal on the rack and another tick in the box, and you'll have learned something for next time, both physically and mentally.
That's for sure. And you would absolutely be kicking yourself if you pulled out when you were still capable of keeping going.
Yeah.
I think a really good example is the likes of golf, which you're really familiar with, and tennis, that you see those players, they've got an opportunity to reset basically before they play every stroke, don't they?
Yeah. And you'll see a guy on the golf course, guy or a girl, you know, hit a bad shot, and then you might see them sort of set up and take another swing in exactly the same position.
Mm.
And what they're doing is almost clearing the mind of the bad shot and visualizing what they really wanted to happen. It's a very interesting strategy. And hey, does it always work? Not really. But that ability to kind of wipe away the negative action or negative result. Yeah. And then visualize a positive one, and then move on to the next shot.
Yeah,
not quite so easy, I suspect, in a sport that's so
continuous motion.
Well, yeah, and so aerobic and physically demanding.
Yeah,
you know, when you've got some other person carrying your clubs and you're just sauntering along some pristine fairways, it's not quite sort of grinding out a half Ironman or a Wu 2K or an Ironman, but
you can still take that same idea, can't you, and just think, okay, well, they've got ways of doing it in their sport. What are my ways that I can bring in for me?
Yeah, and just trying to get the head in the right space, because the impact on the body is, it happens.
Absolutely.
It's surprising, but if you start to think those positive things or get into a mindset that's a good one, you do start to feel better.
Yeah. And it's just about always the brain that fails before the body.
Yeah.
The body is capable of so much more. That's been proven time and time again.
We probably should say that neither of us have any qualifications in psychology or any of the, you know, these are just our thoughts and observations. But I think, you know, we've both done a few bits and pieces out there in the sporting arena and whether you're a 28 handicapper or a single figure handicapper, the mindset thing can be exactly the same for all of those. And again, if you're training for Kona or you're training for the local triathlon, the mindset methodologies are exactly the same.
Yep, big time.
So quick summary, Gerard, on the...
All right, so what we've talked about, the mindset, this applies to events, both long and short. It applies to test sessions that we do, and even just training sessions. That there's days when you're feeling better or worse, and what you do in the brain can really affect the outcome of those days. So big thing is to have the right mindset going in, and that results in a far greater chance of success coming out.
Yeah,
that's what we're trying to set up with this. And I just kind of thought to me, what are the most basic mindsets? And for short events, you really just need to be prepared to suck it up.
Yeah.
Anybody, no matter whether you're front or back of the pack, it's going to hurt. You're really pushing to your absolute limit over a short distance.
Yeah, and not many people would suggest that as the appropriate way forward, but when it is, if it's 5K or just an absolute go out there, give it all, you just got to go for it and suck it up.
Yep.
Because it's going to hurt.
Yeah. Whereas long events, it really is more about patience. That, yes, you could go much, much harder at any one point in time, but if you do, that's going to affect your ability later on. So playing the patience game and just making smart decisions all the way through.
Yep.
And then the third one that I really like is a mindset of gratitude. And we've got a few people in the team who have really developed this superbly. And in my mind, that we're really privileged to be able to go out there and do these events. Okay, we have the time to train, we have the disposable income to buy equipment and participate in events. So when things go wrong, remember that, be grateful for it, and don't become a victim.
Yeah.
Don't be the kind of person, oh, why does this always happen to me, or I hate this kind of thing. It's just, get that mindset right, always come back to gratitude.
And I think that's a great one to finish on, Gerard, because there are a lot of people, 99.9% of the world, far worse off than us.
Yeah, that's for
sure. So be grateful that you can, as you say, get out there, do it, enjoy it, and be part of it. So actually, that's something I will take away from this podcast.
Excellent. Glad we could help.
Fantastic. And we'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks, Doug.
Cheers. Bye-bye.